When a star is born, they receive a gift or two. One of them is this: they have the power to make a dream come true. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do.
To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And there's a reason we're playing that song. I'll tell you about that in a moment. Special hello to some dear friends, by the way. Mark, Steve, Shamron out there listening to Coast to Coast. Shamron, by the way, you're going to hear a lot about her. She's in the new Bad News Bears movie that's coming out sometime this summer. And I'll make a prediction on her career. You'll be seeing a lot of her in the not-too-distant future. Richard C. Hoagland, we'll see a lot of him in the not-too-distant future as well. Still in Florida at the Coral Castles. Richard, just take a few minutes and tell us now, what's the tie-in with the eclipse in the Coral Castle? What were you looking for?
Well, as you know, I have been on a trail from Mars to Earth for the last 20 years looking for the meaning of the geometry we found at a place on Mars called Cydonia that we believe was made by someone in the solar system who came before us. It was probably the great-great-great-great ancestors of the current human species on this planet. And what's astonishing is that I have found one of the key touch points of that physics from Mars to Earth here in Florida at Edlead Scanlon's Coral Castle. And a key component of that physics are planetary alignments, celestial alignments between the moon, the planets, the sun, and even the galaxy itself. Now, the convergence of what we're searching to document scientifically is in validating the model that these alignments cause changes in the fundamental physics of reality, which can at some times cause hiccups in the fabric of the solar system. And one of those hiccups that everybody has written about over the last 10, 20 years are potential pole shifts on this planet. What's remarkable is that you had my friend Jay on the other night, and we're putting on this conference in a few months. We're going to bring together a group of speakers, a faculty, who have been looking at the 2012 problem from a totally different set of positions, some mythological, some scientific, some textual. We're all, George, arriving at some of the same conclusions, that whatever the Mayans are recording at the end of their calendar, whatever the age dates are from the cross of Henday that Jay has been decoding, wherever the physics of the alignments is leading that I've been working on vis-a-vis Mars, it's all coming down to, it's the geometry, stupid. Pay attention.
If you find out how Lead Skolnick moved these blocks, you will be heralded as a hero. Maybe a Pulitzer Prize in writing when you write a book on this. Maybe science.
It's so much bigger than how he did this, because even if he used conventional block and tackle, What we're measuring in the energies of the physics of what he assembled is in itself the eighth wonder of the world. And in fact, he says blatantly that he did it using techniques used in the Great Pyramid. Well, I can tell you that the energies that we're seeing appear to be the same as some have reported from their experiments carried over the last 10, 20 years in the pyramid in Egypt. So whatever techniques he used, it almost is irrelevant to the central question is why does this place act like this enormous hyperdimensional etheric amplifier, and why does it respond to certain planetary alignments, and why do the needles go literally off scale?
Well, it's no accident. He knew what he was doing. You need to find out. How long is it going to take you now to put all this together?
Well, we're going to be putting together the data and analysis through the summer, and by September 24th, 25th, Jay and I are going to put this conference on in Seattle. We already have a couple of guests, including ourselves, to look at this problem from different perspectives, and by that time frame, we'll have our DVDs and our papers ready, and we'll be able to discuss cogently what we have found traced from the transit of Venus last summer through the eclipse. As I said, this is the last eclipse to be seen in North America this afternoon until 2012, all pointing toward what happens when you have this grand galactic alignment at the end of the next, decade,
all right,
at that 2012 date.
Now, keep us
on
top.
We're all looking to see if, in fact, this physics is telling us what could be coming.
All right, and you're keeping us on top of this on your website, enterprisemission.com?
Absolutely. People can go to Enterprise. They will see updated stories and a chronicle. I'll do a kind of a little digest of our expedition, and we're going to finish the Iapetus series. If people want to know more of the background of the physics, they, of course, can go and pick up this DVD of the Wisconsin Conference, the God, Man, and E.T. series, which is listed at the top of Enterprise. And, George, you and I, because we both share this fascination for what that Mayan calendar end date really means, I am sure we'll be having further conversations.
And I want you to stand by a phone Monday night, first hour.
Ah, that's right. Well, we are going to be coming back by way of a late-arriving aircraft. We literally get into Albuquerque at, I think, 10:38.
Just turn that phone on.
I may be visible to you by cell phone en route to the house, but I would love to have that chat with my old friend Ray Bradbury, if that can be arranged.
I would love to just hear a question from you to Ray and Ray back to you. That would be fun. So just,
I've got a super question.
Turn the phone on as soon as you land, because Ray will be on the first hour, so you'll be right in the middle of that interview. But we'll get you right on right toward the tail end, okay?
We will do that,
right,
George.
Thanks, Richard. And good luck.
On behalf of the staff here at Coral Castle, let me thank you for your graciousness and for your pursued interest in this extraordinary puzzle. I have one little thing I want to leave you with. When we were in the break, when you were interviewing Joan Ocean,
yes,
a guy screamed up in a car, jumped out in the parking lot, and said he was on his way to his office where his alarm had rung. Somebody was breaking in. He stopped by here, yelled over the fence, "You guys are silver lining. Keep it up." Jumped in his car and dashed off into the night.
I love it. All right, enjoy yourself down there and have a safe trip back.
Thanks, George.
Richard C. Hoagland. Here's some other quick stories for you before we begin our open lines. Construction crews in a town near Los Angeles, listen to this story, have uncovered the fossilized skeleton of a mammoth, fully with the tusks, believed to be between 400,000 and 1.4 million years old. The mammoth, up to 75% complete, may be a member of the first species of the elephant-like animals that reached North America. Paleo Environmental Associates was called in last week to dig out the skeleton in Moore Park, 50 miles northwest of L.A., and expected to complete the task later by today. About six paleontologists have been working daily. This is an incredible story. Experts believe it may be one of those species that grew to 14 feet tall, weighed up to 10 tons, and were the first mammoths to reach North America about 1.4 million years ago. A Hong Kong hitchhiker washed her face in a freshwater stream, not knowing that a leech had wormed its way up one of her nostrils. I'm not kidding you. Unaware that she was playing host to the creature, the 55-year-old woman only consulted a doctor when her nose started bleeding intermittently about 2 weeks later. The unusual case occurred in 2003, but doctors highlighted it in this month's edition of the journal, where they discussed how to remove live leeches from human nasal passages. Apparently, they had to put her under. This thing was 2 inches long, and the first doctor missed it. The second one saw the leech kind of peeking out of her left nostril, and the only way to get it was with forceps, and they had to apply anesthesia to the woman's nose before they got that out. That is an honest-to-goodness true story. Many years ago, by the way, a fellow by the name of John Greenleaf Whittier wrote this phrase. I have it posted on my bulletin board. Of all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest of these, it might have been. What was he trying to say? Well, I guess what he was trying to say was you just can't go back. Just go in the forward. You know, once you've made your mistakes, learn from them and keep moving on. However, tonight on Coast to Coast, in addition to open lines, I'm going to open up a special wishing line. Because if you had a choice and that chance to make a wish, share it with us. I want to know what it would be. So that phone number, the special wishing line number, is 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. The rest of the numbers for you west of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. The wild card line is 818-501-4109. In that wishing line, whatever it may be, 818-817-0021. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. By the way, back by popular demand, because it's been a pretty emotional week for a lot of people. A lot of things going on, of course, the Pope's passing and the funeral and all that. And just time to laugh at the end of the program. So back by popular demand, a lot of people have just asked for this tonight, and I shall do it. That phone call from that individual who was late going into his office meeting because he was witnessing a car accident where an individual was being beaten by some old ladies. We're going to play that again for you at the end of the program. So get ready for that. Those of you who have not heard it, you're in for something. Those of you who have, well, you're going to laugh again. Let's go to the phones west of the Rockies. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, and where are you calling from?
Hi, George. This is Dana calling from Huntington Beach, California.
Hey, Dana. How are you?
I'm fine. I've listened to you and Art. I've listened to Art for years, and I can't tell you how much I enjoy your show.
Well, great. Glad to have you with us. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm calling. I've been wanting to call for a long time, and I wanted to share an experience that happened to me about 23 years ago.
Okay.
It's about 3:30 in the morning. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I laid there in bed for a while. I laid there long enough. I decided I'd get up and go have a cigarette, so I went into the kitchen, and I had a cigarette. And I was coming back down the hallway, and as I came down the hallway, I could see down the hallway into my bedroom and the side of the bed where I had been sleeping. And as I came into the hallway, I saw there sitting on the side of the bed this being that was so brilliantly colored. It was so bright, but it was amazing that it didn't light the room. And the amazing thing about this was is that I could see all the colors it had. No hair, no clothes, just skin and bones. And I could see the wrinkles in the skin, the bumps on the skin, the bones.
What was it?
I over the years I've thought about it, and I believe it was a demon. And as I stood there looking at it, I looked at its feet, and they were big, and I looked up its legs, its bony knees and its ribs, and how they were all sunk in, and his collarbone and long arms, and they were resting on his legs. And as I looked up at the collarbone and I looked at the face, it turned and looked at me and smiled. This big, awful smile.
Why would a demon be looking or after you? Was there something in your life that necessitated that?
I don't really think so. I think it was there to scare me, on purpose. And it really did. And what it did, I don't know if it was intention, but it was absolute proof of good and evil to me.
Well, there's no doubt that there's good and there's evil. How did this thing disappear?
Well, I ran back into the kitchen, and I wanted to run out. I didn't want to leave my mother and my sister in the house, and I wanted to hide, I knew that wouldn't do any good. And I wanted to pick up something and protect myself, and I thought, well, that's not it. And I basically ran around in circles, and I realized that it was too late. I mean, I figured it's coming down the hallway. It's gonna.
You mean this thing was coming after you?
Well, that's what I thought. You know, I thought it's over. You know, it was awful. And as I stood there looking at the opening in the hallway, nothing came, and I started trembling all over. Horribly.
Don't tell me you went, you crept back in and peeked through the doorway to see if it was still in there.
Well, only after I smoked
guts.
Another cigarette.
Maybe it was telling you not to smoke cigarettes.
It could have been. It could have very well been. But it was, it definitely, I've had things happen later in my life. And the only thing that I could really think of that it could have been a warning, I know at that time, and this was 23 years ago, I always believe that you could leave your body, you know?
Well, you can.
Yes. And I had, at that time, I was trying to do things like that. And I think, you know, I could look at it as a warning. Maybe I didn't do anything like that for a long time.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't think it was an evil spirit, because you don't seem to be the kind of person that would surround yourself with that, open yourself to that, or have any reason for that to come after you. Whatever it was, I think you're right. I think it was some kind of warning for you. I don't know if you ever got the message or not from what it was trying to tell you, but definitely I don't think it was evil. Thanks for the call. Let's go to the wishing line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Oh, who am I speaking with?
This is George.
Are we on the radio?
Yes.
Oh, because my radio's off. Hi, George, Nori. It's an honor to speak with you. I really enjoy your program, and I listen to Art on the weekends,
right,
too. For the last 6 months, I don't miss a day. I mean, 7 days a week is must show how boring my life is, right?
Boring? No, you're just an dedicated listener.
Yeah, well, it's really an interesting program. I just I get out of work at, I have to wait 3 hours before it comes on here. Here it's 1.
What city are you?
1 a.m. I'm in near Buffalo, New York.
Oh, okay, sure.
So Eastern time. So it's like 1 a.m. before it comes on. I get out of work at 10 p.m. So I have to wait 3 hours just to, for it to come on. But anyhow, I really love the program. It's really interesting. I'm really just really like it. And I wonder if that Oscar guy is going to show up tonight.
Who
That's why I'm really
knows?
Anxious to see if he shows up
is
tonight.
Is that what you're wishing for?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. Well, no, I'm not wishing for... Well, I'm just, you know, just for the program. Anyhow, you kind of made it interesting, whatever this guy's about. But anyhow, my wish is really nothing extravagant like the last girl was talking about, I was listening to on the phone here. Mine is just like a basic life problem, you know.
Well, what would you wish for?
Well, I would wish that I could be reunited with my wife, the only relationship I've ever known. We started when we were kids, and it lasted 28 years and just ended a couple of months ago. And we have two beautiful kids, and it's just a basic type thing. It's just about a love lost, you know.
How did it end? In a divorce or
yes,
death?
In a divorce. Oh, yeah. It's she only lives a block away from me now. She's got a new boyfriend already, and it just really hurts because I really love her a lot, you know. And
well,
let
me give you some advice. Not that I'm Dr. Laura of the nighttime airwaves by any chance, but, you know, I think the better wish for you is for you to be able to move on and carry with you those great memories that you've had during your life with her. And, you know, just don't dwell. I mean, they say it takes sometimes a good month to get over 1 year of a relationship. So you were together for 22 years, you're saying?
28.
28 years. It's going to take you 28 months, according to some of these experts,
to get
over some of the pain that you've had. Maybe even a little longer. But, you know, what you should wish for is just your health and your family's health, and that you're moving on a little bit more. And just what's happened, happened. Remember, of all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest of these, it might have been. And, you know, let those words carry you through. Open lines are going to continue. We've got the wishing line open, whatever it might be. Maybe it's a pot of gold. Maybe it's to meet an ET. Whatever it may be, it's there for you. And I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Access the audio archives of Coast to Coast AM. Log on to coasttocoastam.com. George Norrie, call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Sweeter than wine. In a couple of weeks, we'll pop over to St. Louis for a little bit. And then we'll be right back to Los Angeles. Well, take advantage, because there's about 3 weeks left that I'll be talking to you about the After Dark CD for some time. So call this toll-free number if you're interested in that double CD package where you get great bumper music, some unforgettable calls to the show, and some classic ghost stories. Call 1-800-598-2331, 1-800-598-2331. And better still, and even easier for you, just go to the website, afterdarkcd.com. That's afterdarkcd.com. Pick up one or two, keep them, give them away as gifts. But take advantage of it while you can. I'm telling you, the internet is slow, and I've tried it now with four different computers in four different locations. Somebody's playing around with the internet, I'm telling you. I don't know if you've seen it, but that's my guess. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Where are you calling from?
Pennsylvania.
Well, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, I'm doing well.
The reason I called was several years ago, I was really interested in the Coral Castle, and, you know, just like the gentleman that you were talking with earlier.
Richard C. Hoagland, yep.
Yeah, and I, you know, I did a lot of research. I was trying to figure it out and spent a lot of time on it, and I just didn't know if you still were able to talk to him or not, because one thing that I came to a conclusion or found like a small clue that might help him out was that in the readings and stuff about it, the gentleman that built it said that the key to it was to do with this telescope that was made there.
Like it was a tripod he had, right? And then he
he actually made a telescope out of the coral.
A telescope?
Yeah, that points at the North Star.
Right, okay.
Okay, well, so, you know, I kept thinking it had something to do with the, you know, star alignments and stuff, and that threw me off for a long time. And then I found a dictionary from the year that he was alive.
All right.
And if you look up the definition of the North Star, or Polaris, right?
Right.
It comes up with polarization and dipole moment, which has to do with, like, shifting a molecule and you know, like, at that moment when you shift a dipole moment of a molecule, it becomes, that's when the mass, it becomes kind of weightless.
Right.
Sense. It's like when a baseball gets hit by a bat, it changes its direction.
Yeah, for the instant.
Yeah, exactly. And I do believe that has something to do with it.
Well, you know, you might be onto something, and it could be a combination of all these things.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I'm more fascinated, not with the fact that he did it, because I believe he did it in a very different way. I'm more fascinated with the fact that how did he know it? Who taught it to him? How was it handed down from person to person? I mean, these are things you just don't create. I mean, somebody told him something.
Exactly.
And that, to me, is a great secret. I'd like to find that.
Yeah, and I don't know if he somehow, maybe he studied the Egyptian, you know, I don't know if he ever went to Egypt or...
Maybe he's reincarnated from somebody, you know?
Yeah, you never know.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's move on now to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey.
Yeah.
How you doing, sir?
I'm fine.
I just wanted to tell you, this is an awesome show you got here.
Well, thanks.
And I really enjoy listening to it.
Well, I'm glad you're part of the program.
I'm tired of flipping through the cable channels and there's never anything on, you know. So what I do now at night is I just turn down the TV and watch The Late Show, but I listen to you.
Hey, we're getting real close to getting, listen to this thing. You're going to love this. College credit for listening to the program.
Oh, really?
We're working on that now.
Oh, wow. That's too bad I dropped out of college, or it might have been a little easier.
Well, you pick up the credits. You know, you say you listen to 12 hours of Coast to Coast, maybe you get 12 hours of credit for it or something.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah, we're working on that.
Okay. Well, the reason I called, sir, is I don't know if you remember that fella, like about back when Bush got inaugurated. His name was Mr. Weaver. It was on CNN, and he, like, got through security at the inauguration and, you know, had a letter, and he said he was a messenger from God. And then he did it, like, about over the next few years, like a couple more times. He snuck through security. And they never had a resolution to it, like he was detained or anything. It was just that was a story, and they had footage on it. It was like he almost disappeared afterwards.
Like they'd let him go?
I don't know. I didn't hear anything else about it. It was like he just disappeared or something. But he came. The fellow looked like... you know, old English professor, you know, he's real tall and gaunt and stuff. He just made it through security. And I tell you what, I'd worked for the government. I was in the Army, and I was assigned to protection details to generals and stuff. And I, you know, I'm telling you, Secret Service protects the president really good.
Would you throw yourself in front of a bullet to protect a general during those days?
Yeah.
You would.
I mean, that's your job. But what I'm saying is that this guy, it was almost like a divine thing where he got through, you know, I mean, I didn't know if it was just something that I've thought about over the years, and it just fascinated me. And I didn't know if anybody out in your listening audience, or if you ever did a show on it, or if anybody ever talked about it.
I have not, and honestly, I don't even remember him.
Well, it was on the CNN. I remember after, you know, the inauguration and stuff, and he had just slipped through security or something. He was just there, and it was caught on a CNN film, and they did a story on it. And it was just a real amazing thing. You know, it was just like he just appeared and then disappeared. And, you know, he'd come to counsel the president or something. I can't remember all the details, but it's just something that stuck in the back of my mind for years. And I was like, that's pretty amazing. And how could that possibly happen? And then it's like, you know, the story just fell off the face of the earth after that, a little while afterwards.
Well, you piqued my curiosity. I've got to check this thing out now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's curious to me. I don't really, you know, it just seemed like it was, you know, I almost sometimes think that maybe it was, you know, an angel or something or whatever, you know. I've got a strong belief in God, you know, but, you know, I'm pretty reasonable on my thought patterns and stuff, you know. And, you know, it was just weird. And, you know, I believe there was something to it. And,
I'm not sure an angel would try to get through the lines to talk to the president that way.
Well, I know, but I mean, it was just some, you know, I don't really, he just pretty much made it through the security, and then I've never heard anything else about it, you know, whether the guy, you know, they
You would think he'd get arrested or they'd do something
to him. Yeah, but there was no mention of that he was arrested. You know, usually when they say they have a problem with somebody, they get arrested or there's some kind of finality to the story. But there wasn't, you know, he just showed up with a letter and said he had a message for God, and he pulled that once. I mean, getting through security at the, you know, at the Capitol inauguration, then he did it at some other dinner or something and something else like a couple times more over the next year or two, you know, and it just seemed sort of odd to me, and I just didn't know if anybody else had any, you know, information about that as far as, you know, what that was about, you know, I don't know if it's an angel or not, but, you know, I just, you know, that's what the guy said he was, and he sort of appears and then he disappears, you know, and I just
wonder what the message was.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. And I think the first one came before, you know, the towers or whatever, you know, fell. Or
really?
Yeah, I think it was right after his inauguration.
Oh, that's right. That's true.
So
that's true.
I don't know. It was just a strange situation, or, you know, I don't know what it was, but it was just sort of, I remember watching it, and I remember people talking about it, and it was on the news on CNN, and a few people had said something about it that I, you know, had known. And
let me check into it.
And, you know, but but I tell you what, a great show, and I really enjoyed speaking with you, and I thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it, too. By the way, remember that explosion of the refinery at the BP refinery at Texas City? And they've never come out with a definitive reason what had happened. Well, our dear friend Douglas Hagman, Homeland Security U.S., is beginning to believe his sources are telling him that might have been a bomb. And, I mean, that thing blew up under very... very strange circumstances, not too long ago, if you remember, but they haven't said anything. So we might do a quick interview with Douglas Hagman next week, I think. I think he was on with our friend Tom Bowerly from WBEN in Buffalo, talking about that as well. Tom does a great job in Buffalo, by the way. Those of you in Buffalo, that's the guy to listen to when you're not listening to Coast. He is doing a superb job on that station. Let's go to our wishing line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. So what would you wish for?
My wish would be for a spacecraft that would be capable to hold enough food and water to man a mission beyond our galaxy.
What if you refined your wish a little bit and created a way to travel without having to take all that food and water? Maybe pop through a wormhole or something like that. Here's the question. Why would you like that to happen, though? Of all the wishes you could have, why would you wish for this one?
I'll tell you why. Because I want to see the whole, it would be, to me, like taking a cruise. Does that make any sense? I mean, I want to see what's out there.
Yeah,
I don't
you
want
do.
To
You're
just
curious.
Pop from me. I don't want to just pop from here to there, you know, and be there in 2 seconds. I want to see all the scenery, what all there is to see.
Want to see it beyond a telescope.
Oh, absolutely.
Interesting wish.
Absolutely.
I hope it comes through.
But I have something to say about the last caller.
Yeah.
He said something about this guy passing through security.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Do you?
I don't remember it, but I have seen on the internet about technology of an invisible cloak spawned by the government. Does that make any sense?
Yes, there's a Japanese fella who's invented it, and you kind of like blend into the background.
Okay.
Of course, you
can
still.
Is that a possibility?
No, I think they caught him. It's not like he got through, but I mean they did get him. I mean they saw him. I don't know
right.
what it. I just don't remember the story. And I would have.
It does sound interesting. I'm going to have to look up that too.
Yeah. Okay. Good luck with the wish.
Okay. Great. Thanks
right.
a lot.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Next up, let's go to our first time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi George. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
This is Billy from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hello, Billy.
And I've got a scary story for you.
Okay, I'm ready for it. And so are all of us.
All right. It was about 12 years ago. I'm originally from Louisiana. We were driving from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to Chattanooga, Tennessee. We were coming into Meridian, Mississippi at about 2 o'clock in the morning. It had just finished raining. And my best friend was driving. My wife was in the passenger seat, and I was sitting in the back seat. We noticed a man kind of looked like a hitchhiker when we were coming up to an overpass. He was just standing on the white line of the road. We got about 4 car lengths from him, and all of a sudden, we realized this guy was about 8 feet tall, dressed totally in black with like a long black jacket on. Right as we got up to him, he spun with his right foot and stepped in the middle of the road. We hit him, but there was no sound. We slammed on the brakes. The car spun sideways in the interstate. When we turned around to look, there was no one there.
Did you know you hit him just by the way he reacted?
His entire jacket opened up and went over the car. Just like if you were driving down the road and someone threw a blanket over your car and it just kind of floated over.
So you must have thought, Mike, I killed the guy.
That's what we thought, but we didn't hear any sound. Now, that happened in the month of February. Ever since that happened, every February that comes around, something bad is going to happen around the middle of the month in February.
You mean bad to who? You or everybody?
To the three of us that were in the car. Just this past February, I lost my job. It's usually something, losing a job, something financial, or someone that we know gets sick.
Well, now, what about the other two?
Same thing with them. Matter of fact, the following February, me and my wife separated and filed for divorce. So just after that incident had happened, and every year since then, something bad in February happens.
Ever since this episode?
Ever since. And I've come from a, my family, I had a great aunt that was a nun for 56 years. I come from a real religious family, and of course in Louisiana with all the mystery and stuff about the voodoo and stuff like that. I come from a family of palm readers, fortune tellers, and everyone has said that some way, somehow, we got cursed.
You know what? You might have been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Well, I'll tell you what. At 2 o'clock in the morning, when you see something like that, it will scare you to death.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Oh, yes. We have yet to live it down, and I really don't like to travel that road. I haven't traveled it in 7 years.
And you know what? When it's January every year, what starts going through your mind?
Saving money.
You got to battle this somehow. I don't know how you're going to overtake this one. That is
yes.
One strange story. Hey, thanks, Billy.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. You imagine that? By the way, the wishing line is 818-817-0021. East of the Rockies, your turn. Hi there.
Okay, hey, this is Tim.
Hi, Tim.
I'm out of Sterling, Virginia.
Sure.
I wanted to tell you about, I really believe in the Holy Spirit, and I'll tell you why. I've been a Christian most all my life, and I was out traveling. I used to do the Mr. Wizard show for kids.
Oh, I love that show.
Well, what we'd do around, and I would travel, and every Sunday I'd try to find a church. Well, one Sunday I was out in San Jose, and I was trying to find a church going down the road, and I never picked up any hitchhikers or anything, but there was a guy on the side of the road in a three-piece suit while I was going down the road, and I thought, well, man, I hate to be him, you know. Well, I kept going, and I got, like, this conviction, you know, like, please, you know, you need to pull this guy, you know, help this guy, and I just kept going. I passed, like, two or three exits, and then something just told me, you have to help this guy. So I like turned back around. You had to go over the overpass and come back through towards San Jose. So I went back to 3X's and I thought, well, you know, if he's not there, I'm not going to, you know, I don't need to help him or anything. Well, I came back there and he was still there with his car and everything. I said, sir, you know, I know you don't know me and I don't want to seem crazy, but something told me to help you. Well, come to find out the guy was a preacher and it was his first day preaching and he had to get to church and his car was all broke down.
Oh, you're so flustered, huh?
Yeah, and he was really flustered. So I said, look, I said, I'm not going to hurt you or anything. I said, just get in the car and I'll take you wherever you need to go. Well, we got down to his church, and he needed someone to, no one was there to lead the music. So I've done stage theater before. So
yeah.
I said, well, I'll help you out with that. So I ended up leading his music for the church service. And but it was so funny because something like just pulled me and told me, you will help this man. He needs to go somewhere.
You were his angel.
Yeah, that's what he did in the church. That's what he called me. And I said, you know, I'm just traveling Mr. Wizard.
Sure. You know, for a moment when you said Mr. Wizard, I thought you were the Mr. Wizard. Remember him?
Well, no, we were actually, they farmed it out to actors, and we go around to schools and stuff.
Okay.
And they still do it. And we're actually Mr. Wizard's assistants, but what happens is everybody calls you Mr. Wizard anyway.
Can you get a hold of Don Herbert? Do you know how to find him for us?
Well, I tell you what, if you'll give me a call, I can give you the company I worked for.
I'm going to put you on hold. Give your phone number to Tom, my producer, because I've been trying to find Don Herbert for years, and I used to help him out when I was running a television station in St. Louis. He had about four or five of us on his advisory board, and I'd love to get him on the program.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, I can give you the company because this guy that I work for, the company, actually, he wrote the scripts for everything that we did.
Okay, and I'm sure he can find him, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's still alive, isn't he?
Well, when I last did the shows, and that was like in 97, he was like in his 80s. But
I know, he's way up there.
Yeah, I remember the brochures we handed out. He was pretty old ticker there, but you know.
Okay, let me put you on hold and get your phone number to Tom for us.
Okay.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I'd love to track down Don Herbert. I would. We're going to have Casey Kasem on in about a month, by the way, for a little bit, first hour. Every once in a while, we're going to just bring in some people who have had an influence on all our lives, or they're interesting to talk to. So we're going to do that. Now, when I come back, we've got two more hours still to go of open lines, so don't go anyplace else. And don't forget our wishing hotline at 818-817-0021. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Miss part of the show? Listen online with Streamlink. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.